Today's first reading is from Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. I have three brothers. One of them has died, Jeffrey, the middle brother. Two older, Chip and Jeff, and then me and my youngest brother, David. And I know I've told some people some stories about Jeff. He was a really unique guy. He was somewhere between Mr. Rogers and Mr. Spock. You know, he's a little different. But he was a great guy, and sometimes you read in Scripture and you know in your life how there are some people who, though they don't have everything, have some gifts that are truly amazing. So we're going to read about one in Scripture. From Judges. Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the oak at Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, as his son Gideon was beating out wheat in the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. You don't normally beat out grain in a winepress. He's hiding. The angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, "The Lord is with you, you mighty warrior." And Gideon answered him, "But sir, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all God's wonderful deeds that our ancestors recounted to us, saying, 'Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt?' But now the Lord has cast us off and given us into the hand of Midian." Then the Lord turned to him and said, "Go in this might of yours and deliver Israel from the hand of Midian. I hereby commission you." And he responded, "But sir, how can I deliver Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family." The Lord said to him, "But I will be with you, and you shall strike down the Midianites, every one of them." This is the word of the Lord. Now, Jeffrey, who was my brother and who passed on due to the complications of ALS, he was rather special. He's not like anyone else in my family or anyone else I've ever known or met. It's not that he was intelligent and kind and fair-minded and had a wicked and wacky sense of humor. I know other people like that. It's not that he was a great storyteller, because everyone in my family was a great storyteller. It's not even that he can be a bit withdrawn when things get emotional. I know other people who have these characteristics. But one of the exceptional things about my brother Jeffrey was his eye-hand coordination. Jeffrey could throw any object and hit his target. He could flip a wad of paper and hit you on the nose from 10 paces. He could and did wind up and throw a snowball at a moving car and hit the driver through the open window, and the car was moving about 35 to 40 miles an hour and a football field away. We were all amazed. And then we started moving pretty fast too when the driver came roaring out of his car. Every winter, this is in upstate New York during the, you know, ice age up there, the one where, you know, you see the Alka-Seltzer commercial and the person is going like this in the snow. Yep, that's what we had. And every winter we would have these massive snowball fights, the four of us kids. And every winter it was exactly the same. If Jeff was on your team, you won. The same was true of baseball or football or basketball. His accuracy with a pitch, a flea flicker, or a foul line shot was consistently phenomenal, as was his humility and quick, shy smile. The simple rule was you wanted Jeffrey on your team. And if Jeffrey, with his dead-eye accuracy, his fair-mindedness, and humility was on your team, you won. In our scripture from Judges, God's messenger is having a hard time convincing Gideon that when God is on your team, you're going to do very well. God's messenger begins a conversation with Gideon saying, God is with you. And Gideon is less than impressed and complains that if God had been with them, why are we in this big mess being conquered by Midian? Everything should be perfect. And he points out, by the way, that he is the runt of his tribe, which is the weakest tribe. Gideon would have benefited from understanding the old saying in church circles, which goes, God does not call the equipped. God equips the called. God does not call the equipped. God equips the called. God regularly calls people that we may not recognize as primo candidates. People like Mary, a teenager that gives birth to the Messiah, and Peter, a bluff fisherman from a small town on Lake Galilee, and Gideon, the runt of the litter from the weakest clan of a defeated people. But once Gideon is convinced that God is with him, he gathers his people. If you know the story, you know that God kept asking Gideon to pare down his troop of warriors. My favorite one is he said, go, and there's a pool. You know, everybody has been running to get to the battlefield, and they're tired, and they see a pool of water. And he said, go see who cups the, okay, well, which one are you? Would you cup the water and drink? Would you put your face in the water like a dog and lap it up? Okay, who are the lappers? One lapper. Okay, he says, keep the lappers, send the cup drinkers home. Well, that's a smaller troop, you can imagine. And then God told Gideon to go into the battle with a reduced force and smash a bunch of pots. That's my idea of a winning strategy, yeah? And God did it to show Gideon that when God is with you, you don't need much help. It worked as the noise from the smashing pots confused and alarmed the Midianite host, and the Midianites ran with Gideon and his small band chasing them out of Israel. So the lessons to take away are that God plus one makes an irresistible force. It does not mean that you jump off a cliff and say, God is with me and I'll land safely. You know, usually God tells you when, you know, it's time for you to stand up and get going. And God uses those that we might think are not think are leader material to lead us. And further, God uses those who often have qualities that we don't value. The ability to follow God in courage, in love, and in humility. Again and again, God calls those who understand it's all about love and equips them. God does not pick those that the world sees as winners, for too often, not always, but too often, money and power and prestige are what the world sees as winning. And the pursuit of such things often tramples upon peace and love and justice and joy. If you want to have joy and peace and justice and love, and they are the only things worth having, they are the only things that last and increase in value with age, then you want God on your side. And you want to fill up your team with those who embody those things that God loves. Kindness, patience, my very favorite, self-control, because without that you can't do the others, a keen sense of justice, and a good dose of humility. These are the qualities that my brother Jeffrey had in abundance. Because Jeffrey was not only a winner in sports and in school, he was a winner in life. And he was happy to see you win too. Some people say that, but he really meant it and backed it up with action. He didn't feel that all the credit needed to go to him, even if he carried you a bit. And he wouldn't stand for cheating or bullying. He was definitely a supporter of the underdog, the novice, the new kid, the weakest, and the youngest. He was one of my big brothers, and he was not perfect, but he was not like anyone else I ever knew. When I was a kid, I was blessed to be included by him in his games and adventures. Even when he was in high school and my younger brother and I were still in grade school, he used to take us along and include us. We and our friends were always welcome, and he made a point of making room for us. Some of his friends might have thought that it was a little weird to have all these little young ragtags along with them, but they soon got into the spirit of things and learned that when you bump an 85-pound girl at full speed and you're in high school on the wrestling team, bad things happen, and then you feel bad about doing it. And so everyone around him learned how to be kind and patient. Everyone understood that we look out for the weakest one and the most vulnerable. If you were not the best or the fastest, you wanted Jeffrey on your team because you knew he would look out for you. Besides sports, Jeffrey excelled in his studies. But he was never too busy to help out someone else who was struggling. He was a natural teacher, as were all three of my brothers. But as kind as the rest of us are, Jeffrey instantly knew who the scared one was, the worried one, the vulnerable one. And he turned away from the bright lights and the current shiny object toward those who needed him. If you don't think so, ask Scott. He knew him well. Yes, if you were not the cleverest, the most educated, you wanted Jeffrey on your team. Let me give you a fairly recent example of what it meant to have Jeffrey on your team. When Hurricane Katrina hit New Orleans, where he worked for my older brother's law firm, Jeffrey, on his way to safety, went to the law firm, pulled all the hard drives out of the computers. He picked up the server and scooted across the Lake Pontchartrain Bridge to jump in the car with my brother and his kids as Hurricane Katrina went from a 3 to a 5 and drive to safety. And, of course, my younger brother's wedding in Florida, which I told him, don't do it on Labor Day weekend. It's the number one. They never listened. When the storm and the wedding were over, he went to Baton Rouge and set up the law firm remotely, so that wherever the members of the law firm had fled to safety, they could continue to do business as usual. And this is long before we have all the setups now, long before Zoom, long before any of this stuff of remote work was really very much in popular, very popular and able to be done pretty easily. That law firm was one of the few up and running right after Hurricane Katrina. Not only law firms, but hospitals, banks, and small businesses had huge damage to their IT system. Jeffrey fixed the IT system in the law firm and then his outside clients, but then he started working on hospital and banking systems. He worked long, hard hours, way beyond the call of duty, because he said people desperately need to have the hospital and banks working. They need access to their medical records and their money. And when he was finished with them, he continued to work long hours for free, putting the computer systems of small businesses back together, saying, you know, this is the livelihood of these people, and they are out of business without their computers working. Did I mention that he did all this while he was flooded out of his apartment? He lived first at a hotel in Baton Rouge for several weeks, eating out of the vending machines. And then he lived in our oldest brother's house for 13 months with little or no access to his stuff. Yes, you definitely want Jeffrey on your team. When Jeffrey was on your team, you win. And he's happy to teach you how to keep on winning. The other special thing about my brother, Jeffrey, is that we're pretty sure that he had what was known as Asperger's syndrome, or something very much like it, like somewhere between Mr. Rogers and Mr. Spock. And yet somehow Jeffrey was blessed to make his way in the world and be independent. Because remember, God equips the called, and we are all called. But whether Jeffrey was burdened by what was known about Asperger's syndrome or something else, living life and dealing with the tensions of interpersonal relations was very stressful for him. It's not that he was not personable. He certainly was. Rather charming, actually. It's just that it cost him a lot. Probably a lot more than you and I would imagine. And yet he bore the cost. Because he loved you. Because he wanted to help you. He hates to see anyone suffer when he could help out. I think it made him all the more remarkable and someone I always wanted on my team. For when Jeffrey is on your team, you win at everything. You know, Jesus has a response to those with wealth and privilege and pride of place, the ones we call primo. The ones who are admired for being successful, having made it all, getting it all, living it all. Jesus says about those who have it all and that's what they're focused on, I tell you, they have their reward. In other words, it's unlikely they will have the peace of Christ. Now, not everybody. There are some wonder. I've known them. I was in Florida with Fortune 500 people. Some of them were, that's what they were, and others were the soul of generosity and patience. But it's unlikely that people who put making it first will ever have the peace of Jesus Christ. It's unlikely that they are a person after God's own heart. It's unlikely that they will be examples of sacrifice, going the second mile, putting others first. Those who pursue power and the ability to control people and events have no peace. Those who walk over the rights of others do not truly experience love and the release of forgiveness. And those who are card-carrying members of the kingdom of thingdom, well, they will never know God or hear God's call or be transformed by the love of God. If you would be on God's team, you must submit to God. You must learn humility and trust, and let God be your leader, your confidant, your savior. That is what every hero and heroine of the Bible had to do, including Gideon, and sometimes it was a steep learning curve. If you cannot pry your fingers off the wheels of control, you cannot really trust in God. You're going to have to let go. Then, if you have to pile up more and more and more, then Jesus says, that is your reward. If you decide, like Gideon, like Paul, to submit in humility and give your whole self over to God, then you receive the peace of Jesus Christ, even in the midst of suffering and uncertainty. And you will come to know how to truly love and be loved. Then you will be a person after God's own heart. And you might be really successful and have a lot of money. It's about love, not about your bank account. And God will then equip us to do more and more than we ever dreamed possible so that we will be a blessing to others. So who will you have on your team? The movers and shakers? If so, are you prepared for the heart-numbing sacrifice they will demand? And when you get into trouble, their response will likely be, it's a tough world, you're on your own. Or will you have that lanky shepherd leaning quietly in the corner, whose rod and staff will protect you and lead you to peace, love, joy, and justice? Amen.